glad you're here this morning. Appreciate those of you that have given so faithfully. I want to give you an updated report on the pledge cards that came in. The total amount is $83,700 that's been pledged. So that is a tremendous amount when you think of almost $15,000 on top of that pledge for Lottie Moon. That is a great amount, and I appreciate so much your faithfulness. All the information has been given to the bank. We're filing for an application, filed our application with them, and so we're at their mercy, so please pray. They've already called back and asked for a few things. I didn't know there was anything left to give them, but they are asking for a few things, so be much in prayer for that, but really excited about the future, what God's going to do, and what He is doing in our midst, amen? I know there's a lot of tough situations that many of you are going through, but I can tell you this, God's still on the throne. He's still working in people's lives, so we're excited about that. We see Him answer prayers every week. People go through difficulties, but God's still in the business of saving people and encouraging people and strengthening people. So be encouraged. God hadn't forsaken you in the midst of the storm. He's still on the throne. Checked with Him a little while ago. He's still there, still able to do miracles. So that's a great blessing. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, some daily reminders for daily living, brief reminders for daily living. I don't know about you, but I need this constantly. How many of you, when the warm weather comes and the flowers begin to bloom and those buds pop out, you just kind of start thinking differently? And it's like, wow, okay, here we go. We're in the springtime, sign of new life. And sometimes we get in trouble ourselves because we have a tendency to let our guard down. And if you're like me, you need to stay on top of those things. I need to be tough with myself. I need to handle myself in a ruthless manner and make sure that I stay on the track and keep my focus. How many of you ever struggle with getting your focus out of kilter? All right, a few of you, a couple more, and still asleep. But it is true. And if any of you have arrived in that, I'll be glad to go sit down on the back row and you can share with me how this can be done in a very effective way, where you bring glory and honor to the Lord. I've been saved for 40 years, still working on it, and God's still working on me, so we don't ever come to that place. But these are some interesting verses. Paul just gives us really an exhortation. He's talking to the brethren here. He's talking to us. Just some very practical things that we need to keep ever before us. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have a tough time living up to these things because you don't have a motivating force within you, and that being Christ. And so it's tough when you're trying to grind it out in the flesh. But when the Spirit of God lives within you, God can give you the ability to live the Christian life and to be able to make the tough decisions in life. So we look at verse 21. It says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, that's an interesting verse. Abstain from all appearance. You mean it's wrong for me to even do something that appears to be evil? Well, sounds that's what he's saying here. And so if you're like me, you need to be reminded of those things that people might see Jesus in us. And immediately in saying some of those things, some things come to the surface. Be willing to put it all on the altar, friends. We all have vices. We all have things that we struggle with. We're all but dust. We are human. God knows that. He hadn't given up on us. He still gives us the Spirit of God, the Comforter that lives within us, that which one is that guides us in truth and helps us to be able to produce a Christ-likeness in this old life. How many of you failed this week? Don't want to see hands, but all of us have. None of us have arrived, and so we've got to pay close attention. Why is it so important for us to live the Christian life these days in such a way that God's honored and glorified? Talk to me. Why is that important? Okay, don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. Be a witness. Time's short. It's what God wants. Anybody in the back? Set example. Thank you, man. Term here. Anybody else? bring pleasure to God's heart. How many of us want to be a pleaser of God? Man, we lay our head on a pillow at night, we just want God's smile of approval. And so many times we feel like, okay, if I don't live up to all the credentials, then God is not pleased with me. You know what? God's pleased with you, friends. He loves you. Our children will do dumb things and break our hearts and do things that are contrary to what we want, but we still love them. And so many times when you do those wrong things, the enemy comes along, perches on your shoulder, and calls you every name of the book. You get to believe in it, don't you? We walk in agreement with him. And he comes as the accuser of the brethren, putting us down, making us feel contrary to the fact that God truly loves us. And the proof is here that God gave his son for you and I, that we might know that his love for us is real and genuine. Yeah, we break his heart. We do those things he doesn't want us to do. But the important thing is that we go back to the facts of the Word of God and we rest in the fact that he loves us. I don't care what you've done in life. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for the beauty of a relationship that we can have with you. And Lord, as we look into these two verses, here's some great truths, some great doctrinal issues that we need to keep ever before us. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that can guide us in truth and give us wisdom for the daily affairs that we enter into and the things that we're faced with. And Lord, you know our downsittings, our uprisings. God, you know where we come up short. God, you know where we are not faithful in. And so, Lord, we're trusting today that this will be the day that, God, you'll give us a handle on some of the things that we deal with, that we might be conformed more to your image. And we love you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody said a good paraphrase of this verse is, bring all things to the standard of your private judgment and the Word of God and see whether they're in accord with both of these tests and hold fast to that which qualifies. You know, discernment is so important, and you might be a very discerning individual. By the way, when we do the spiritual gifts tonight, we're going to focus on the gift of prophecy or the gift of prophet. And usually a prophet has a very strong sense of discernment. But discernment is a careful distinction that you have high regard for truth. I mean, most prophets cannot stand lying because a prophet sees no gray. It's either black or white. And we need that in our lives. You know, we have so many different shades of gray nowadays because we're wanting to blend in and we're wanting to appease and we're not wanting to get too radical in this thing. And we don't want to, you know, get to the side of, you know, where it looks almost like we're being, you know, so ultra conservative. Somebody said the other day, somebody told me that you're an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. Well, I said I'd take that as a compliment. Amen. If you're calling me an ultra-current conservative, I am. But I'm also a biblicist, which I believe the Bible to be the Bible to be the Word of God. Amen. And if the Bible says I need to live it, then I need to live it. I don't need to argue with God and argue with my flesh and argue with the devil. Just do what God tells you to do. But we need to have that scriptural litmus test in our life to run everything through that grid. Has nothing to do with being, out of balance in the Christian life. I mean, if the Bible says stay away, stay away. It's very cut and dry. I think sometimes we complicate things in our mind because we're trying to rationalize instead of just living a clear-cut scriptural life. You know how we are. Man, we want to get right to the edge. It's like, how far can I get without falling off? Anybody relate to that? I mean, Lord knows we don't want to get caught way back here. But let me ask you a question. Why do we want to get so close to the edge? What forces us to do that? Are we fearful what people are going to think of us? Are we fearful at times of what we're going to turn into? Are we fearful at times of the things we might have to give up and even the friendships that we might lose? Or it might damage my reputation, you know, with the guys. Or some of the ladies I hang out with, you know, with some of the conversations we have, you know, I don't want to be too fanatical about this thing. Paul said, listen, bottom line is this, prove all things. In other words, match them against the Word of God. And if they do not pass that test, the best thing you can do is run from it. Very simple. When we talk about testing everything, we're talking about doing it carefully. Somebody said one of the grossest blunders that we make in Christianity is that we do not carefully run the situations of life through the grid of truth. And listen to this. Many live by the motto, if it feels good, do it. What's wrong with that statement? You know, we're human. But what's wrong with living by a motto that says, if it feels good, just do it? Because not everything that feels good is good for you. Immediately in our minds, there's some things that come to the surface. We say, you know, if I indulge myself in that, my life will be a spiritual wreck. And so we must be careful about the places we go and the things we do and the people we hang out with and the things that we allow to enter into our bodies, whether through our eye gates, our ears, or our mouth, to make sure that they run parallel with the Scripture. And some would argue that case to say, I don't see the reasoning of that. Can I remind you that it's not according to our reasoning? It should be according to God's. If you got a struggle with this, friends, your struggle is not me. Your struggle is God. Your struggle is His Word. And there's a disruption in your heart for some reason. I mean, there have been a lot of things that I've grappled with over the years, but I can tell you, as soon as I go to the Lord, God can make it all clear. And usually He will set up scenarios and situations that help me to understand why I need to have that razor edge when it comes to Christianity. Oh, I can kick up the dust, pitch my little fit if I want to, give God all my reasons. God said, here. Just like a time that I didn't want to forgive somebody. God said, you find in here where you don't have to forgive, and I let you off. I'm like, God, I'm smarter than that. I know it's not going to justify unforgiveness anywhere in the Bible. It's just like God said, okay, if there's a not justification for unforgiveness in the Scripture, why don't you want to forgive? Well, I don't feel like it. Where is that at in the Scriptures? I mean, on and on it went with every argument that I had. He chopped it down with truth. And so our greatest desire should be to bring pleasure to Him. Paul, in exhorting the brethren, said, hey, test everything that comes to your life. Run it through the grid of truth and do it carefully. Not only carefully, but secondly, comprehensively. You know, we need to examine the initiator as well as the object. Where do we get our thinking from at times? Not everything that you hear on the internet is true. Are you kidding, preacher? And just because it's on Facebook, doesn't mean that it's true either. I'm thankful I'm not on Facebook. I mean, I can't keep up with email and texting for one thing, and phone calls, but I don't know how some of you do Facebook. And I do not understand why people have to give a play-by-play action of what they had for breakfast, what they did every waking minute of the day, and on and on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, why don't you get off Facebook, spend some time in the Bible? Amen! Whew. That's not going to cost you extra. I just threw that in there as a little fringe benefit. But for many, it's a waste of time. You know, if I got on Facebook, they'd probably throw me off. Back in the years of having a CB radio, you know what I used to do? I'd travel somewhere and I'd get me some hot preaching tape and I'd throw that thing in my cassette player and I'd hold that microphone over the speaker. Man, let that dude preach for about 5 minutes with fire. I'd let off that button. You never heard Chuck's cursing. Oh my, people were mad as a hornet. I loved every minute of it. I mean, why shouldn't we use those avenues to be able to preach the gospel to somebody? I worked in quality control, and we'd have to load train cars. Well, if you would have been the one that received the train car back in Michigan or wherever that train car, we'd load that thing down with tracks. I mean, we'd put 100 tracks, 150 tracks, just stuff them in everything. You say, well, I bet it made somebody mad. It probably did, but I'm trusting somebody got saved. Listen, run everything carefully through the grid of truth and comprehensively. It's like a little boy that got a telescope. Man, he's all excited about looking at the moon for the first time. And he gets out there on the back porch, and he's got his telescope looking. He's looking through there, and he sees the moon. He watches it. You know, he's all excited about it. And said, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom, and he comes back and looks back in that grid. He said, Dad, there's something crawling on the moon. Dad looked on the end. There was a little bit of ant. You know, sometimes that's the way we look at Christianity. There's a little something that fogs the view. And we take stock in the fact that it's a done deal. Listen, if it doesn't run along with truth, run from it like the plague. You don't need it in your life. I mean, would we get a person that's colorblind to give us observation of these beautiful flowers here? Which, by the way, Rainey, thank you for the fresh flowers that you bring in every Sunday to our service. That takes a whole lot, and we greatly appreciate that. But you don't want somebody that's colorblind that's going to describe to you what a flower garden looks like in May. You're not going to get somebody to live in sin to give you explanation according to the doctrinal issues concerning the Scripture of why we need to be in love with God. But we hear about old Dr. Duflunky down there on the corner that's come up with some new truth. May I say something to you? Be careful what you get over the internet, what you get on TV, and just because you get a flyer that has some biblical truth on it, make sure, be careful, friends. You know, everybody's raving about Shaq in the new movie. You know, there's some extremely wrong doctrinal issues with that movie. Now, I'm not saying, preacher said I couldn't go. I'm not saying that. You know, one lady told me the other day, she said, preacher, I cried through the whole thing. I said, well, I do that with a Hallmark movie every once in a while. Holly and I sit down and watch a Hallmark movie. I'm sitting there crying. She's not. She's like, what's wrong with you? I said, they just touched my heart. So just because you shed a tear, I'm not saying that it's bad, but run it through the grid of truth. It's very simple. I mean, that's important. So what he's saying here, don't get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, but have a balance in life. Secondly, he has said, cling to what is good. That word hold fast means to overcome. I don't like battles in life. You like battles in life. But some battles are good for us, aren't they? And if you never go through the battle, you will never know what it means to have the sweetness of victory and the beauty of a victory coming your way in an answer to prayer. So hang on to that which is good. What about your faith? Let me ask you a question, Mr. Christian. Where are you in relationship to your faith? Preach, I'm saved. I'm saved. You scared to tell anybody that? Would you be willing to die for your faith? Paul said, you not only prove those things, all things, but you hang on to the point of overcoming that which is good. Listen, we're targeted. We're targeted people. And the message that we profess, and I'm a firm believer of this, you're going to take the tag, then you need to show forth the truth. You're going to claim Christianity, I'm all about living it, friends. God knows we'll never be perfect. You're not looking at a perfect preacher or a perfect Christian. But I do know this, that if he loved me enough to die for me, I ought to love him enough to live for him and tell somebody about it every once in a while. Tell them. Every chance you get. Let me ask you a question. If you won the lottery and run $186 million, how many people would you tell? I know you wouldn't tell your brother-in-law. I know that. Yeah, he'd be begging for half of it. But your faith, it's a lie of the devil, friends, when the devil tells you it matters not what you believe. Hogwash. It does matter what you believe. And we ought to know why we believe what we believe. It's a sad day when the cults run circles around us. And they're very well versed in what their belief system is. And they can tie us up in knots from a scriptural standpoint, because many times we don't know what we believe. We're just living off the fumes of the preacher's life. And I tell people all the time, and I've said it many, many times, if you think you're going to get what you need out of this book just listening to me preach a couple times a week, friends, it ain't going to be enough. What and who you are from your Christian standpoint is the time that you invest in the Word of God, letting God invest in you. And one of the things that we need to hold on to is our faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 9 says, "Would you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And as we think in our heart, our lifestyle needs to complement that. So we're not only testing everything, but we're clinging to that which is good, our faith, our integrity. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." How many of you in this room, it is your burn to be noted as a person of your word and be a person of integrity? How about it, teenagers? You're establishing a reputation in your school. Do other students know that you're a Christian? And you're proud of that? And you are desirous of making a reputation of being an honest person? Young ladies, do the guys know that you're off limits when it comes to premarital sex? Guys, do other guys in your school know that it's not going to do any good to bring any naked pictures to you, because they know you're not going to look at them? Because you've already determined in your heart that you're going to hold fast to biblical truth. Yeah, you might have to stand alone, and people might make fun of you, and they might take advantage of you, but I can tell you one thing, you'll have the applause of heaven. And Paul said, "Cling to that which is good, hang on to it, and don't let it go." Your faith, your integrity, your profession. Cleave to that which Jesus purchased with his blood, and honor its mission and sustain it and advance its interest by all the means in which God has given you. And we're to be a living epistle of the Word of God. Somebody said the greatest revivals that we've yet to see are in two different places, and one's in the workplace and one is in jail. And that's so true. What about our efforts to persevere? And I'm going to tell you, I've never heard of a day when people are having the battles like they're having today. I mean, our prayer list grows every week, every situation known to man. I'm thankful for couples that desiring to get married that even want to enter into marriage, because we're living in the day and age where, you know, just whatever. Doesn't matter anymore. Well, it matters to God. If you claim Christianity, then you need to do those things that are important to him. Thank God for people that are living for Christ. But the battles that you face in life, and sometimes it's almost like it's overwhelming, but stand in those times of difficulty and hardships, friends. And I've said before that sometimes the greatest, the battle, is the closest to the victory. When it just gets to the point that the battle is unbearable and you're so wanting to throw in the towel and faint in the midst of adversity could be at the very point of you turning the corner of that situation and coming to the greatest victory that you've ever experienced in life. The night of fear and struggle may be long and dark, but the morning will come to gladden you if you, like Jacob, will hold on until God blesses you, until he blesses you. Learn to persevere in the face of thousands of obstacles, because God never promised that it'd be easy on this side of eternity. The Bible says they will face persecution. If you're looking for the easy street, friends, you ain't going to find it in Christianity. I've led people to Christ a couple weeks down the road. They say, man, this is horrible. This is hard. I said, man, you ain't experienced nothing yet. Wait about 10, 15, 20 years under your belt. And you get kind of snug and comfortable. And you get kind of a lazy spiritual feeling about you. You just kind of want to let your hair down, so to speak. And boom, man, the devil just comes out of nowhere. Kind of like what happened in Peter's life. When Jesus said to Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat, and I'm going to let him do it. And I'm going to be praying for you. How many times have you been through the sifter? How many of you in this room have already quit in your heart? There's not the joy and the peace of the Lord in the midst of the storms that you can do, as he says up here in verse 18, which says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sally Burnett's sister died yesterday. I know many of you have been praying for Ellen. She went to be with the Lord. I look at what Cindy, her mom, going through with Edmund. Week after week after week after week after week, just dying by the inch. Danny's mother passing away. The list goes on and on. We see the turbulence in people's lives. How many of you this morning got problems? You got heartache? How many of you cried yourself to sleep last night? How many of you are depressed and discouraged and really want to quit? You showed up this morning, but you didn't show up in your heart, because you're going through the motions. You don't think God knows all that? He does. He's not mad at you, friends. He understands. And he is right there, one prayer away, to give you what you need to persevere and go through. But preacher, I feel like God's forsaken me. Shuck your feelings, friends. Get out of your emotion and your feelings and go back to the truth, where he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love those verses in Isaiah. Chapter 41 says, fear thou not, be not dismayed, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I think it's down in verse 13 where the scripture says, I will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not. You feel pretty lonely in those times, don't you? But God said, I've committed myself to go with you and to go through. And to persevere, Paul said, hang on to those things that are good. What about your prayer life? Verse 17, the same chapter says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Doesn't mean you ride down the road with your head bowed and your eyes closed. That's okay if you're riding, but don't try it if you're driving. I mean, I always thought that was the credential of praying, that you had to make sure your eyes were closed and your head was bowed. Or God wasn't going to hear. That he'd be sitting there looking, put your head down. Close those eyes. I see you peeking. I'm riding down the road. My phone rings. Somebody said, "Preacher, will you pray?" Well, I either got a choice. Either I pull off on the side of the road and pray, or I keep on going, which means I can set my gaze up in heaven. One preacher said, "You know what? I was riding down the road one day and got so engrossed in prayer, it was like I was there and here at the same time. It was like my head was in heaven, but my feet were on earth, and I'm just fluctuating in between the two." When was the last time you had a good season of prayer in your life? When was the last time you prayed with fervency and you turned rebukes and denials into fresh pleas before the throne of God, like the Syrophoenician woman that prayed for a daughter that was vexed with a demon? And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And even Jesus said, "No." Even the disciples said, "Lady, would you be quiet?" But she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And Jesus went to her and said, "Lady, I want to tell you something. Your faith has brought healing to your daughter." And I can tell you this, God never gets tired of our pleas before his throne. We got lost loved ones that need somebody interceding for them. You work with somebody that needs to be saved. We got children, grandchildren that need to be saved. And God's given us the avenue of prayer. And last of all, another good thing to look for and to hang on to is an eternal perspective. How many of you are looking forward to heaven? Now, don't just say that because a preacher asked that question. But how many of you are truly excited about being able to go to heaven one day? And you live in a sense of so much excitement down here that it's almost like you're there. And the things that you do are to set up great riches in heaven. And that's your focus. That's your burn. That's your desire. I stopped down and saw a man the other day, lost his brother. I said, "I'm really sorry to hear about your brother passing away." And he said, "Yeah." But he said, "You know what, preacher?" I said, "What?" He said, "We're going to get there one of these days, aren't we?" I said, "Yes, sir." I'm longing to be where they are. And I'm not going to see my mama and my daddy, and I'm not going to see my cousins and little baby we lost when in between Jared and Tara. I don't know if it's a boy or girl, and don't know what the name is. But I'm going to tell you what, I'll see them about after the first 2 or 3 million years, but the one person I want to go see is Jesus. Because he's been a faithful friend that sticks closer than a brother. Paul said, don't ever lose that eternal perspective. In other words, you look into those things that are invisible. You ever catch yourself looking out into the future? Looking on beyond? Scripture says in Colossians 1, 15 and 16, who in is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. In Romans 1, 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. By the things that are made, even in his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You ever catch yourself daydreaming sometimes and just thinking about the process and thinking about the fact that you're going to suck in that last breath and you're going to leave this body in this world to go to be with Jesus and be able to enter into heaven? You ever think about that? Preacher said, somebody said, "I'm scared to think about it because I'm scared I'm not going to make it." Well, get the issue straight, friends. Because God says, "I've written these things, this book right here, that you can know for sure that you got heaven in your heart and you're going to be in that place someday." Paul said, hang on to those things. Hold fast to them. Learn to overcome in life. Last of all, Roman numeral number 3, stand against evil. And you stand against evil by your actions. It's a sad day, friends, when we don't really know which side of the fence to get on. We don't know. And I'm not saying that to promote Trump. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying this, friends. You need to know why you believe what you believe and be willing to stand against evil. Doesn't mean you got to be mean as a devil. You need to do it in your social interaction. Because there again, God wants us to be a living witness. And sometimes you need to give a word of truth. You don't just sit there like a rubber neck and go along with everything everybody says. Because I don't want to get in an argument, preacher. Well, maybe God wants you to open up your mouth and share some truth. And you don't have to do it in such a way where it's rejected, and it might be rejected, but so be it. Stand for what is good in your social interactions, in your pursuits. What are you pursuing after? If you could have one thing in life, what would it be? Good or bad? Worldly or spiritual? What would it be? I know some of you have food on your mind right now. I know that. But if you could have one thing in life, what would it be? You remember when God asked a man that? His name was Solomon. What did he say? Wisdom. And some people look at him and say, man, you're an idiot. That's ridiculous. But what did God do? He granted to him wisdom. Because he knew he could trust him in that. And even in that, friends, he short-circuited and ran off. And committed spiritual adultery because he ran off with another lover other than God. In your pursuits, in your expenditures, somebody said, you can look at a man's checkbook and tell how deep of a walk he has with God. You know how you can do that? Because the money he spends in his expenditures are going to be those things that will be an extension to the kingdom of God's kingdom. And he will invest in God's kingdom. If he doesn't have a strong tie to Christianity or even saved himself, he might have a little bit in there every once in a while. But most of the expenditures are going to be on himself. Paul said, first of all, prove everything. Run everything through the grid of truth. If it doesn't run parallel to the truth, or if it's going to damage your testimony in the long run, leave it. And then he says, hold fast that which is good. Hang on to those things that have meaning in life and that will set an eternal perspective. And then he says, stand against those things that are wrong. Stand against them in such a way where people know where you stand. Listen, I've got great respect for some people in their stance against evil. But it's hard for me to have respect for a person that's constantly fluctuating and riding both sides of the fence. And some people, when they stand for good, you're going to be hated. That's going to happen at times. But at least have the courage and the boldness to stand for what is truth. And that's as Paul said, stand against that which is evil. And then he says in verse 23 in the closing, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And he said, I'll also give you the power to be able to live that kind of life. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, how many would say, preacher, I'm a needy individual. And God's spoken to my heart, and I've got needs today. You talk about somebody ride the fence. That's where I'm at. I have a hard time sometimes just pulling out and pulling all the stops and the plugs. I've tried that. It seems like I got beat up by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the temptation just got so overwhelming that I caved in. And I'm in the struggle, the battle. It's on. I'd appreciate you praying for me. Anybody like that this morning? My hand goes up. Pray for your pastor. I have the same battles you do. Anybody else, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. I'm in the battle, preacher. I want to live for Christ, but it gets so overwhelming at times. Would you pray for me? You talk about discouragement and depression. Thank you. I'm there. That's my world. I'm in constant conflict. Would you pray for me? Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone here today who said, "Preacher, I don't know Christ." You talk about Jesus being the inner witness and the motivating factor in my life, and he doesn't live within me. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I got to get that issue cleared up. We'll be standing here in the front. We're going to sing a couple verses. If God's spoken to your heart, you want somebody to pray with you, we'd love to have that opportunity to pray with you and pray for you. But today, would you make that step towards him and be honest and genuine and real to him? And God will meet you in that prayer, friends. He'll do far more for you than you could ever imagine. Father, I thank you today for the truth of the word. Thank you that you've committed yourself to us. And Lord, there is a victory in the midst of the battle that we can walk in. And sometimes the battle gets worse. God, you've always committed yourself to be faithful, and we thank you for that. So Lord, help us to test everything, to run it through that grid of scripture and the word of truth. And God, give us the boldness, the courage, and the strength that if it doesn't ring true and run parallel to the word, that we drop it and leave it. Also, Lord, help us to hold fast to those things that are good. That God, we might be found faithful when we come to the end of our days, desiring to be a person of integrity, a person of character, a godly individual that desired for nothing less than living the Christian life to bring glory and honor to you. That we were willing to tell people about our Christianity, professed it. Lord, we pray that you'll give us what we need to be able to stand firm in our actions and in our words, that those things that come from our lips prove out our desire to be a blessing to your heart. Thank you for these that have raised their hand. I pray that you'll make them strong. Lord, that you deal with those obstacles in their life of frustration. God, deal with those areas of depression, discouragement. One of the greatest tools the enemy uses against us is to be discouraged. And for anyone here that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, may this be the day that they give their heart to thee. And we love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand, please, as we sing?